No 800 numbers, no recorded messages. Just text the word Friday to 30838 to get his winner for free. No strings attached. You get this winner, backed by in-depth analysis, absolutely free. Just text the word Friday right now to 30838.
The latest report from the Labor Department showing a decrease in jobs.
The Labor Department says the economy lost 33,000 jobs in September. It's the first one-month job loss in 7 years, and not the 90,000 new jobs analysts had been expecting. But the Labor Department's household survey found 906,000 more people working in September than in August. That helped to push the jobless rate down to 4.2% in September, its lowest point in 16 and a half years. And the average hourly earnings were up 2.9%. That ties with July for the biggest monthly jump in wages since June 2007.
At least 22 people were killed in Central America by Tropical Storm Nate as it continued on its path toward the U.S. Gulf Coast. The storm dumped heavy rain and caused flooding in countries including El Salvador, Nicaragua, Honduras, and Costa Rica. The U.S. National Hurricane Center says the storm is likely to strengthen today before a possible hurricane-strength hit near Cancun, Mexico. USA Radio News.
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast, and you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, delivering six times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
The mayor of Phoenix, Arizona, says he wants to go higher in his political profile. Here's Jason Campidonia.
Mayor Greg Stanton made it official Thursday and announced his plan to run for Congress. Stanton will be running for the Congressional District 9 seat, which is currently held by Representative Kyrsten Sinema, who's now running for Senate. Stanton is Arizona's former deputy attorney general and spent 9 years on the city council before being elected to mayor in 2012. Only one current Phoenix City Council member says he wants to be mayor, but that may change in the coming weeks.
Supporters of illegal immigrants who came to the U.S. as children are asking President Trump to extend the deadline to apply for renewal in the DACA program.
Thursday's deadline for DACA renewals left thousands confused and asking for an extension. Bita Mustafi from Mayor de Blasio's administration says the impact from recent hurricanes has created a hardship for many of those applying for work permits.
All of the 800,000 young people nationally, the 30,000 young people here in New York City who are dreamers, are able to stay in the United States. They're able to pursue their education, to continue to be teachers and nurses and doctors and serve in our armed forces.
DACA advocates say the Department of Homeland Security did not notify a number of eligible recipients about the deadline and send out what some called misleading information. The new enforcement goes into effect starting today.
AOL is announcing they're wrapping up their instant messaging service. The company said AOL Instant Messenger will be discontinued on December 15th after 20 years of being online. USA Radio News.
Well, good afternoon on this beautiful, and I mean beautiful, October 6th date. Leaves are starting to change, I know, on Stanton Mountain. Valley always changes, and the leaves fall before the mountainside. But there's starting to be some color. It'll be interesting to see if it's as nice as it has been in some years. I don't know, actually, if the fact that it's been dry the last couple of weeks will make a difference, or if it had been too wet before that. But in any event, this is the time of year that we usually enjoy fall colors. It's been very warm lately, and again, a beautiful day today. So what's happening over this long weekend? At least some people will have a long weekend, have the Monday off, and but unfortunately, too bad it wasn't last weekend, because we were expecting tonight there'll be some patchy fog after about 1 a.m., and then otherwise it may be partly cloudy, low only about 62 degrees. But what's happening tomorrow, again, patchy fog before 10 a.m., and thereafter I'm getting a telephone call. So let me just play one of the... So I can answer, I'll just play a spot here.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
All of America is praying for the wounded and the grieving, and we will be with them today, and we will be with them forever.
President Trump's comments today regarding the shooting in Las Vegas, where the girlfriend of the gunman now giving new details. Mary Lou Danley told investigators Stephen Paddock showed some symptoms of mental illness. She says she remembers him lying in bed, moaning and screaming. State and federal law enforcement officials confirmed Paddock had been prescribed anti-anxiety medication in the past. The Trump administration undoing a federal mandate on birth control. The Obamacare rule required employers to provide contraceptive coverage in health insurance plans. The new rule will allow more employers and insurers to exempt themselves for moral and religious reasons. Millions of women currently have free access to contraceptives because of the federal mandate. The rollback expected to be challenged in court. USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Facebook. Fall is here, and as the weather changes, so do the things we need around the house. Facebook's Marketplace can help you declutter from summer and get ready for fall. You can get rid of beach blankets, camping equipment, and old bikes, and find everything you need for the season, like sports gear, warm clothing, and Halloween decorations and costumes. It's all on Facebook's Marketplace. Deb Liu is Vice President of Facebook's Marketplace.
It's easy to declutter your home and earn cash for things you're not using right on Facebook Marketplace. Halloween is right around the corner, so save time and money by buying costumes in Marketplace. And you can even sell your old costumes from last year to pay for candy. It's also the start of a new sports season, so you can easily sell your old equipment and find new, gently used sporting goods on Marketplace. So whether you're trying to get rid of summer items or gearing up for fall, Marketplace is here to help.
For more information, visit Facebook.com or open the Facebook app and look for the Marketplace icon.
Well, we're back with the sports guys. Bill was locked out, so that's why you've heard the news twice, and I'm out of breath. So we played the weather, we played the news twice. And so we're now here with the sports guys. We're expecting John Manfreda, who I thought was not going to be here today. But Bill, we'll just have to save any discussion about the Giants until our friend John is here, because I guess we're going to have a little bit of fun. But maybe we should start with what's happening. I know your Yankees are in the playoffs.
Well, first of all, Pat, I want to say I've been locked out of far better places than the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce. I'm a Temple University graduate, and we've been locked out, kicked out of the Big East thanks to Rutgers. Well, now you know Rutgers is now in the Big Ten.
Oh, please.
And are they ever going to win a game in the Big Ten? I don't think so, even if they played Purdue 11 times.
But well, talking about – wait. No, before you do that, now that you mentioned the Big Ten –
Here we go, another Midwesterner.
Well, I'm actually the Wisconsin, the Badgers, are playing homecoming game against Maryland this year.
This weekend.
No, on the, what's the Saturday, the 20th?
Oh, next weekend, 2 weeks.
No,
from
a couple
now.
A couple weeks, because I had a call from my brother today. We're looking for tickets to the Badger-Maryland game. Because we will be in Wisconsin, and it's almost as much fun, maybe even more fun. No. I can't tell you whether it's more fun to watch the Badgers or the Packers. But this year we're trying to do a doubleheader with Badgers on Saturday, when they play. It's their homecoming game, and they're playing against Maryland. And then we're going to the New Orleans game in Green Bay, although we still don't have tickets for that game because we have tickets for the Tampa game, and we're not going to that. So, you know, our life in the fall kind of revolves around football.
Well, and well it should, except when you're a Yankee fan or a Flyers fan like me.
Or even Cleveland Indians. I mean, they're really
they're hot. Oh, man. The Indians won, what, 20 games in a row?
Actually, they won 22 games in a row. And in the 22nd game, they were behind 2-1 in the ninth inning. And actually, the bottom of the ninth, they tied it up, and then they won in overtime. But then they were defeated in the 23rd game. But I think that is probably, I can't remember if there's anyone who's ever, any team that's ever won 22 straight. So when you talk about the youth movement in professional hockey, since you're such a hockey fan, what's the significance? You probably know my grandson is playing for the Rochester Ice Hawks.
In the Ontario Hockey League?
Well, this is the league where the kids are come out of
high school. They come out of the juniors.
Yeah. No, I think it's juniors because they come out of high school, they play in this league, and then most of them go on to college.
That's right.
I mean, if they're spectacular, I guess they'd go on to one of the farm teams.
And what's the name of the team he's playing against?
He's playing for the Rochester, Minnesota Ice Hawks.
So that's not an East Coast hockey league.
No.
Do you know the name of the league? Is it the WHL?
I'm sorry. I don't remember. It's whatever that league is, and they're in the Midwest, for example. We were hoping to go to see them on Friday night, the same, and then go to Madison. So go from Rochester, Minnesota, to see them play hockey on Friday night. Badger game on Saturday and Packer game on Sunday, but they're playing in Pequot, Minnesota. So it's a league that's all throughout the Midwest. All I know, I call it a youth league, but I think it is whatever that league is where they recruit out of high schools, and then most they can only play, I think, until they're 21, and most of them play a year and a half or 2 years and then go on to college. But our grandson, Michael, he's the captain of the team this year, which I guess that must mean he has some leadership skills. But he's moved from forward to defense. And is that usual?
Well, you know, being moved from forward to defense implies that he's good at skating backwards. He can skate backwards quickly. It also implies that he's got some good puck sense, although he may not have as great a shot as some of these forwards do. Very often in the juniors, what coaches will do is they'll try players out at different positions to see if they're a good fit or not. Defensemen take longer to mature than forwards because they have more responsibility on the back line. They have to captain the power play sometimes from the blue line, the attacking blue line, and they also have to learn not to back in on goaltenders and to play good positional hockey. So I often think that defensemen, particularly the stay-at-home defensemen who are large, big guys and who can crowd out a forward trying to screen a goaltender, are usually going to find the transition challenging from forward to defense, unless they've been playing defense since they were 8 or 9 years old, just because that's the way the coaching is. But the trend in the game is interesting. We're trying to get larger, quicker defensemen as opposed to forwards, where you don't really have to be a big guy to be fast. Classic example is a 5'7" Daniel Briere, who had a great career in Montreal and then with the Philadelphia Flyers, wound up with the Avalanche when he finally retired. But the fact that they moved him to defense is simply a coach trying to experiment to see if he's a good fit back there on the blue line.
Okay, well, thank you, because I think that, you know, I've watched hockey. I honestly, obviously, I don't know that much about it. But I do know that this league, and whatever it's called, and I should know, what I've learned is it really gives kids who are good hockey players in high school, they get recruited, they are selected for the various teams, and at that point, it gives them an opportunity to really play hockey full-time and then hopefully go on to college. But one of the things that Michael said to me is he's really very pleased that he did well in high school, because these are the kids that are going to be out there getting scholarships. And he said that there were a couple really good players on his team last year, but they were not good students, and they did not have good grades, and so now they're concerned about whether or not they're going to get into a college that both has, you know, good hockey and good academics. And they may have more difficulty getting recruited from some of the colleges who are expecting, you know, someone to actually take classes and go through and be able to make it through 4 years of school.
That's right. The juniors are a really good proving ground for younger guys who may not have decided that they want to go to college just yet, but want to keep playing. And quite frankly, you see a lot of college coaches at the junior level looking to recruit guys for their college team, particularly in the North and, as you correctly point out, in the Midwest and in the Far West. You've only looked at the Flyers coach, Dave Haxtell, who had a very successful college career at the University of North Dakota, developed an awful lot of players who are in the NHL now and who are showing some real talent.
So is it he coached at North Dakota?
Yes, he did.
Well, that's interesting, because obviously I would like to see Michael come to Princeton, but he's been talking about one of the schools was North Dakota, which, you know, ordinarily, you know, and I don't want to sound like a snob, but ordinarily, even from the Midwest, if anyone wants to go out of Wisconsin or, you know, out of Minnesota and out of the Big Ten, you know, they'd be thinking of coming east, not to go to North Dakota. So I thought that was very interesting, because, you know, Michael was a very good student. So he, no question, could have gone on to probably most of the schools that he would have wanted to attend. But because he really wanted to improve hockey, he said this has been a tremendous experience. He said anyone who is interested in playing hockey in college should really think about, it's kind of like a, what do they call them, gap years? It's kind of like
a gap year, sure.
It's kind of like
it's
a gap
going to
year
Europe.
For going to Europe or doing something else before you go to college. So he's been, you know, and they stay with families. So he lives in Rochester. He stays with a family, and I think he has a part-time job. But mainly they concentrate on hockey. And he said he's really gotten so much
great.
Better.
He's probably learning a great deal
about
the tremendous.
Game. Tremendous.
Because you can get a very good level of coaching there that you might not get in a college. And remember, one of the advantages of playing on a junior team like that is they're limited to 23 or 24 players, whereas a college squad might have 50.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because some guys get redshirted. They play under the NCAA rules. It's different than football a little bit. But there are an awful lot. I don't think the NCAA limits hockey scholarships, so they can give out as many as the school chooses. So what happens is that they're going to get a higher, better coach-to-player ratio. And this can be very interesting, particularly for a young guy who is looking to improve his skill set or figure out exactly where his talents are. And a lot of these coaches at the junior level have been NHLers, or they've been in the American Hockey League, or they've coached in Europe or played for some of the Scandinavian teams where there's a very high level of play. And they're great people to learn from.
I would be surprised that there would be as many as 50 good hockey players to go around to all the colleges who have that have hockey teams. I mean, that really surprises me that that there
remember.
Are that many because not that many high schools have hockey teams. Probably more now, but you know, certainly.
In the last 10 years, we've seen a real expansion of the hockey playing population, both in the grade school level and also at the high school level here in New Jersey. I can't speak for other states because I don't know, but you have only to go, as you have, to the Prudential Center where the Devils play,
right.
And you see dozens of jerseys hanging
from
the rafters and all over the walls. And just about every one of them is a high school team. Hunterdon Central has the Red Devils, plus there's another team called the Hunterdon Bears.
Well, let me ask you, do you think in one reason for that is in New Jersey, when these kids start early, you know, that's all private and it's expensive.
It is expensive.
I mean, do you think that, you know, many other areas, I don't know unless there's public school hockey. You know, these kids don't start as early as some of the kids that I've seen here in Hunterdon start hockey.
Well, you know, it's funny because friends of ours, my wife and I have a son who has played on a traveling team for a while, and he's now about 14, and he's not a great player. He's a good player. He's a nice kid. For him, this is fun. Rather than a career choice because he's 14. But to outfit him as he has grown from being an 8-year-old to a 14-year-old, they probably have spent $5,000 on equipment. And for a family with a pinched budget and a couple of other kids, that's an expense. Plus, you know, the ice time is sometimes starting at 5 a.m., which means someone's got to get them up at 4 and get them there by 5. And the practice is usually over by 6:30, and they've now got to make sure he's showered and on his way to school. So it's a real commitment for parents.
Oh, it is. Well, and I think actually Michael was lucky because they live in River Falls, Wisconsin with the university, and our son actually did all the announcing for the university hockey. So I think they got some extra time. But in any event, let's get back to hockey's not the sport right now, but why don't we talk about a little more baseball?
Let's identify a couple of good college hockey players now in the NHL to watch.
Okay.
First, there's Boston College Jimmy Vesey, who plays for the Rangers, and I think he's number 25, great forward. A lot of future there, a lot of upside. And we have Shane Gotisbehere of the Philadelphia Flyers, who grew up in Florida and played at Union College and played in the NCAA Frozen Four in Wells Fargo Center just 3 years ago before he ended up with the Flyers Lehigh Valley affiliate, Lehigh Valley Phantoms. Hopefully we'll get to see them again this winter, the Phantoms. One of our sports guys' trips, but
yeah, that was really fun. In fact, since we're talking hockey, encourage anyone to go to that at the stadium. It's really a nice stadium. It's an easy drive from here. Good
easy
restaurants,
parking, great restaurants to walk to
right.
Just outside the arena. Not bad arena food inside.
No, in fact, when we went over, we all went out to dinner and then watched a good hockey team, hockey game, and you know, and it's inexpensive compared to going to any of the other, you know,
sure.
Philadelphia
remember,
or Newark.
Remember, a good seat there is $20, and across the street you can get a hamburger and a beer or something like that, and spend another $10. Whereas to go into Madison Square Garden or to the Prudential Center or down to Wells Fargo, you're going to spend four times that and not see the game from as good a seat.
Well, and I also think that to take kids, now I shouldn't say this because a lot of kids go to Packer games, and I remember not going to that many when I was really young, but did go to a number of Packer games And the way to become an enthusiastic supporter of any sport is to be able to see the games when you're young and to get to understand them. But in any sport, hockey, football, baseball, to take them to the minor league games when they're kids and to kind of teach them the game, that's a way to do it because it's an inexpensive, relatively inexpensive, and frankly, the kids are going to enjoy it. I mean, I started out, I probably saw Badger games before I saw Packer games, and I became, that was my love of football.
Well, with the sports explosion that we've had over the past 20 years, we have a minor league team in Trenton, a Yankee affiliate, the Trenton Thunder. We have the Lakewood Blue Claws. I think we're a Phillies affiliate. And we also have a team up in Montclair, I think the Jersey Jaguars. And I think they're a St. Louis Cardinals affiliate, but I could be wrong.
Really?
Yeah, they're, and you know, they are literally right outside the Yogi Berra Baseball Museum, which is really a cool place to see on the Montclair State campus.
And then, of course, Allentown is the Flyers.
That's right. Allentown has the a baseball team called the Iron Pigs.
But now, they also have the hockey team.
They have the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, right,
which
the Flyer affiliate.
Flyer.
So, you know, minor league sports are a great way to introduce a youngster to a game. And, you know, they also are more kid-friendly in both Lakewood and in Trenton. The kids get to run the bases. In Allentown, where I haven't been, I've heard there are all sorts of competitions, and we can't leave out our Somerset Patriots, just a couple towns over in Somerville, Bridgewater, another great place to see a baseball game.
Okay, well, baseball's almost over. It's hard to believe that we're in the final stages, so what do you predict for your Yankees?
Well, the Yankees could not catch the Boston Red Sox, unfortunately. But they got to play a great game against the Minnesota Twins. I actually had the pleasure and the time to watch that game. And, you know, Luis Severino had a terrible first inning. He only got one out and gave up three runs, including a couple of home runs. The Yankees came roaring back with three runs of their own in the bottom of the first. I'm really glad that the game was at Yankee Stadium because I think had it been in Minnesota, we might not have seen such a great experience. The Yankees eventually won that game 8-4. Great roaring Yankee comeback. Aaron Judge had two home runs. The home run hit by Didi Gregorius was a long, beautiful shot. But, Pat, I understand we better hit the money button or we're going to be out on the street panhandling.
All right. Well, let's play some... spots. It was
here.
A little
yeah.
difficult because I had
hey, they
to.
They pay for us to have all this fun, Pat.
When I
so
had
let's
to
take good care of them.
And I had to play news twice in order to let you in the building. So let's see what we can do here before we hope John will join us.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County, from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambee's, purely delicious.
See now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, Bill, we're back, but before we start talking, I have to tell you, if you have not gone to Pambies, one of our sponsors, you've missed out on some great ice cream. I don't know why they just say they're on 31 south of Clinton. I'll give you a little more specific directions. They're on the south side of 31 between Molasses Hill Road and Payne Road, and just north of Payne Road. It used to be a little restaurant, and they have fantastic ice cream, and they're now either have paved or finished paving, or they're paving Molasses Hill Road, which has not been in good condition for almost 20 years. And I have yet to drive on the new pavement, but boy, it's going to make it even easier for me to get to Pambies. And I have to tell everybody, if you haven't been there, you're missing out on some great ice cream.
And folks, now that Molasses Hill Road is paved, you can eat your ice cream cone on the way back and not wish the ice cream landing in your lap instead of on your tongue.
Well, or if you don't want to sit outside at Pambies, you can take your ice cream over to Round Valley Reservoir. You know, just, of course, then you have to go south from Pambies and turn around and go up to Molasses Hill Road. But anyway.
You're the Pambies aficionado.
Yeah.
What's your favorite flavor there?
Well, it depends. I mean, they make different things, but if they can possibly make anything with coffee and dark chocolate, you know, that's the best. Their hot fudge is really good, and but you can almost anything. I'm not a fruit person, but almost anything else.
That sounds too good to be discussed on a family radio show.
Well,
but that sounds like really good ice cream.
I think we're lucky that we got rid of that awful diet ad, and now we have Pambies. So
yeah, who cares for diets? My idea of a great diet is that someday we're going to wake up and all the cardiologists and endocrinologists are going to say steak and ice cream are really good for you.
Oh, I like popcorn, ice cream, butter, hot fudge.
Oh, there we go.
And well, any kind of cheese. But anyway, let's get back to...
Well, you're from Wisconsin. You have to like cheese.
I know.
Well, meanwhile, the Yankees lost last night to the Cleveland Indians 4-0. Aaron Judge was handcuffed and managed to strike out more times than I would like to admit. I think it was 4. Tonight's going to be interesting because the Yankees face Kluber. Chase Headley is going to be seated. He's not going to be the DH. Instead, it's going to be Jacoby Ellsbury, and because he's had more success against Kluber, who is clearly in the running for a Cy Young Award. Cleveland's got a great team. They won 22 straight ball games, as Pat pointed out a little while ago. I'm just happy the Yankees are here in the regular American League Division Series playoff because last year they didn't make it, and the year before they lost the wild card winner-take-all, winner-go-home game against the Detroit Tigers. So the Yankees are coming back. They've got a good young team. They've been fun to watch. I did not expect the Yankees to make the playoffs this year. I've been pleasantly surprised.
No, I didn't either.
As far as I'm concerned, these are bonus games, and as John Manfreda would say, the Yankees are playing with the bank's money.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. What do you think of Cleveland's?
I think Cleveland's a great team. I can't wait to see how Cleveland matches up tomorrow with the Yankees. Tonight with the Yankees and for the rest of the weekend.
Now, where are they playing now?
Right now, they're going to play game two in Cleveland,
tonight. Okay.
What I'm hoping, though, is that if the Yankees can get past Cleveland, which even though I'm a diehard Yankee fan, cut me and I bleed pinstripes, I will tell you I don't expect the Yankees to get past Cleveland. Cleveland's just too good, and they've had too great a season. But I'm looking forward to seeing the next matchup because I think it's going to be Cleveland-Houston, and I think that's going to be a real great series and could go down to seven games. I'm hoping for the Yankees to win one or two.
Will Houston automatically be there next? Will Houston automatically be there next?
They're playing the Red Sox. I think they're already one up on John Manfreda's Red Sox, and we'll wait for John to get here to tell us about it. But meanwhile, Pat, how about them Philadelphia Eagles, 3-1?
I've been waiting for John to come in. And how about the name of the player
Jake
2 weeks ago?
Jake Elliott kicking a 61-yarder against the Giants.
We were down at the shore and on the beach, and my granddaughter was watching it on her little phone. And, of course, he kicked another. Didn't he kick one that was like 45?
He kicked a 46-yarder.
Yeah, 46. And then to come back and, to do the 61-yard. And, of course, anybody who knows me, the irony is I'll never forget that young man's name because my grandson's name is Jake Elliott. So he's walking around in New York, and people are not believing his name, which, of course, is Jake Elliott. And you can imagine Giant fans, being introduced to him.
He doesn't want to say what his name is if he's around any Giant fans.
He really doesn't. And, that was quite a feat. And, you must be pleasantly surprised with how well the Eagles are doing. Now, who are they meeting this week? Do they have a bye?
I'm sorry?
Do they have a bye this weekend? Who are they playing this weekend?
The Eagles are playing the Arizona Cardinals this week, and we're hoping that the Eagle defense will wake up and play them really well. The Cardinals are favored by 6 points. And, real quick hit with Dave Johnson, who ran wild last year. The Cardinals were number six in the NFL with points scored. Without Johnson, who's got a busted wrist, they're 22. Now, the Eagles are playing good defense. Carson Palmer, about as mobile as a pinball machine, doesn't have his great weapon, running back David Johnson. So you've lost an all-pro guy who chewed up 1,200 yards last year and caught 80 passes for almost 900 yards. So Arizona has not scored more than 20 points so far. So the Eagles play tough defense. Carson Wentz has a good game. He finds Jeffries. He finds Jenkins. The Eagles may just pull it out. Remember, Blount had a great running game against the Giants, although I'm not impressed with the Giants' run defense this year. I will tell you, the Eagles got good blocking. Ertz and Celek both played good games at end, and I am hoping for an Eagle win. I'd love to see the Eagles go 4-1.
Well, that would be great. And, of course, the Packers haven't played since Thursday night. Their schedule, they're playing on Sunday. I think they're playing the later game in the afternoon. But do you know they played the Bears on the Thursday night game on the 28th of September. And this has been their traditional rivalry. They go back to,
They're at
George,
Soldier Field, aren't they?
No. This past Thursday, they played at, Thursday, they played at Lambeau. So, but let me ask you something. In all of the games prior to Thursday night, do you know what the balance was between the Packers and the Bears as far as wins?
I do not know.
Well, this is amazing. The Packers and Bears each had won their games. The Packers had 94 wins. The Bears had 94 wins, and they had tied six times. Isn't that amazing? I mean, when you think that they had played 188 games. No, then another six games. So in all of those years. But I was really surprised that the Bears deferred. So the Packers, led off. And, of course, it was really amazing, even with all of the injuries. And they really have their left tackle. Bakhtiari is out. Balaga, the right tackle, is still out. I mean, they've been really, really suffering. But the first play, they went down, touchdown. They had 75 yards in about 10 plays. I think they had two scores in the first 4 minutes, because what happened is Matthews, when the Bears took over, Matthews stripped the ball. In fact, he has his all-time record now is, 75 sacks.
75 sacks, but how many fumbles has he forced? Forget about sacks for a moment. He's a great defensive player. I notice that he's always looking to force a fumble. I see him strip balls very often.
But usually, that's true, but usually that usually also results in a sack, just a fumble.
Because
but
a fumble.
Yeah.
A fumble
right.
is better than a sack, especially if you recover, you're a defensive player.
Of course. So what happened is right after the fumble, they went right down again. The Packers went right down. So this has to be some kind of a record. They keep records on everything. But in that game, the Packers had two touchdowns in 53 seconds.
That's amazing.
I mean, isn't that unbelievable?
So that was a defensive touchdown and an offensive touchdown to follow.
Well, the first two, they had a touchdown after that fumble. So then they were up 14-0. I almost felt sorry for the Bears quarterback, Glennon. I understand that they may be replacing him for this next game with who is their recruit? Starts with a T. I don't remember his name. But in any event, I really felt sorry for the guy, because he, not that he was that great, but it just seems to me that, already in that game by halftime they were talking about, oh, he'll be replaced. I just think that sometimes these guys need a little more time, but they're just, it was really, it was the kind of game that you like to watch from the standpoint of maybe not so exciting, but on the other hand, you don't think you'll have a heart attack halfway through.
let's hope nobody has a heart attack watching football this week. It's supposed to be fun, not stressful. Interestingly enough, the Eagles will only have two healthy running backs. Smallwood's out. Darryl Sproles is out. So it's really going to be up to Blount, and they may bring a guy by the name of Marshall up from the practice squad. So that'll be an interesting thing to see. Meanwhile, I see Carson Wentz adapting by getting the ball out to Brett Celek and Zach Ertz more. He, as you saw with the Giants, he picked them apart with the short game. He got a lot of passes underneath for 6 to 10 yards. Every now and then, he went to his wide receivers to stretch the field really nicely, and then went back to his running backs to get some really long gains from them. So it's impressive to me the way the offensive play calling has gone, and I give Doug Peterson, the Eagles coach, a lot of credit for that, Pat.
Well, and of course the other thing that happened in the Packers game is there was a 47-minute they had to stop play for 47 minutes while because of a thunderstorm, and it was pretty amazing to watch that thunder. And of course everyone, I think, thought that that would really be helpful to the you know, the Bears. They could go back and they could kind of regroup and et cetera, et cetera. But it didn't happen. Probably my favorite touchdown. Did you watch the game at all?
I saw the Packer highlights, Pat.
Okay. Well, then did you see my favorite touchdown was where Jordy was just wide open in the end zone. I mean, it was just, you know, at that point, I think that was when they were about 35-7, and then Huntley came in, you know, for the rest of the game. But, I mean, it was just, it's so much fun to see Aaron Rodgers and, you know, pass to Jordy, and especially in this time. I mean, the Bears just, nobody was around. So that was a fun game, and, gee, are the Packers playing the Cowboys this weekend? I'm trying to remember. I think the Packers are playing the Cowboys this weekend, aren't they?
I think so. Philadelphia plays the Cardinals. The Giants play the Chargers. The Jets play the Browns. And I'm not sure who the Packers play this weekend, Pat. I didn't check yet.
I think that one's this weekend. But
meanwhile, how about
the Patriots?
Pardon?
How about the Patriots?
Well, what about the Patriots?
Well, I mean, you know.
The team I love to hate?
The team most of us love to hate. And, you know, Brady has not pulled everyone out this year like he usually does.
That's true.
And what about the Giants?
He's missing one of his favorite targets, though. I will tell you in a moment who Green Bay is playing. I know New England's at Tampa Bay, and we have the Chargers at the Giants. I think the Giants finally pick up their first win, so they're going to be. I think the Giants end up 1-4. If the Giants don't win this weekend, it's all over but the crying. I think you lose your first five games.
Yeah, I don't.
That can't be good. The other thing that's, I think, an exciting matchup is Pittsburgh and Jacksonville. And that's going to be the 4 o'clock game. I'm looking forward to that game.
No, the Packers are also playing 4 o'clock.
Yeah. And remember,
but it was, who's
Green
gonna
Bay,
be?
Green Bay invades the most evil place in the NFL, Dallas. And Packers are 3-1. Dallas are 2-2. I'm rooting for Green Bay.
Better.
I'd root for whoever plays Dallas, but I'm especially going to root for Green Bay because I really don't like the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, you know, this is for us. Dave and I, of course, are diehard Packer fans, and then our daughter Sue and one of her children, Dylan, are diehard Cowboy fans, and in fact, we saw Dylan. He plays on the Hopewell Valley. He's a freshman in Hopewell this year, and we saw his game last night. Unfortunately, they played Burlington, and it's freshman football, but the Burlington did not have enough kids on the team to play freshman, so they also had sophomores, and so Hopewell got to have some of their sophomores. And they didn't. They did not do a good job. They did not play a good job. They did not play a good game. You know, Dylan plays both the offense, defense, and he punts. We didn't see him punt last night because they were down and they kept trying to make it on fourth down. But you know, Hopewell has the most amazing field. I mean, apparently the parents raised about $1 million to, you know, play in this field. I mean, it is, you know, artificial turf. Now, they don't have good goal signs. So, so that's not great. But bleachers, I mean, I'm sure that there are college fields that are, in some small colleges aren't as good as that field. But it's fun to see the kids. They're really enthusiastic. They had they lost probably the best player on their team I don't know if he must have broken his leg because he's on crutches and he's out for the rest of the season. But it's sad to see these kids lose because it really means so much. And they really put their heart into it. So that, I guess this should be an interesting weekend, though. The only thing that's worse is when the Cowboys play the Eagles, because then Sue and one of her kids are Dallas fans, and the other two are Eagle fans. And, it's quite an interesting...
I'm surprised you haven't kicked them out of your family, being a Packer fan.
We tried...
coming back.
We really thought with
you
Dylan.
You even moved
we had
a couple times, but they found you.
Yep, we really thought with Dylan we'd have a Packer fan, but it didn't work out. And in fact, I've said this before, I will not ever take my grandkids to games in Lambeau because when I took Tommy to a game against the Eagles won. And when I took Dylan to a game against the Cowboys won. So. From now on, and I have not been to, I would like to go to a game in Dallas just to see, the stadium. I've been to Dallas, to games in Dallas, but it was before the new stadium.
I've been to Dallas, but I've never been in that stadium, which I hear is magnificent. I heard it was a couple $1 billion just to build it.
Well, the Minnesota.
And then to fit it out was even more.
I would actually... have liked to gone to the Minnesota Green Bay game this year in Minnesota. Dave said no way because he was not going to put up with Minnesota fans. But that is supposed to be just a spectacular, their new stadium is really, pretty spectacular. In fact, the Super Bowl is going to be there, isn't it, this year?
You know, it's funny. You like looking at these beautiful new stadiums, and so do I, but I have a real curiosity about Soldier Field in Chicago. It's right on the lake. It's been up since the 1920s, refurbished a number of times, and it's more of a traditional bowl open at one end type stadium, if I remember correctly. And I'm curious to see what it's like to sit in a seat maybe three-quarters of the way up between the two 30-yard lines, or the seat that I really enjoy, the end zone seats. I just think it's really cool to sit there.
As long as it's not too low.
Yeah,
you
have to be fairly high in the end zone.
Right.
I'd almost rather have a high seat way up in the end zone than have a 40-yard line seat almost like six rows back from the field, because you get to see more of the game. You get to see the plays develop.
Well, I have to say, and I agree with you, I would love to go to Soldier's Field. Of course, Lambeau was initially built in, if I'm correct, and I think I am, in like 1957. And then, of course, it was huge renovations a few years ago. Every seat is a good seat. I remember as a kid going to Lambeau, as a young kid going to Lambeau, and it was open on one end. So it was, it was that traditional. And I don't remember then that they had box seats. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. And then, of course, now, not only did Lambeau renovate a few years ago, but now they put on more seats, more box seats. But every place that we've ever sat, the only time that it's been somewhat difficult is when we're low on the end zone. But every other seat that we've had, the only other time that I didn't like it is I was sitting in on a seat right where people could walk in front of me to get down to go out to the concession stand. So it was like nonstop, somebody walking. But that seat was probably on the 40-yard line, but it was just right above the exit. So, in any event, what else do we want to talk about. We have a couple more spots.
Well, Pat, it's 5:59.
Oh,
it's almost time to go. So
well, I guess
let me wish everybody a get up off that couch and pardon my voice.
And sorry that we missed out on John.
But hit that money button and play a couple of those commercials quick because it's 6 o'clock and we're about to go to Rewind.
We are at that. So bye.
You're listening to HuntingtonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business, one business at a time.
U.S. officials say two more soldiers are wounded but in stable condition.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
These ulcers had disappeared, but I was not able to get good quality fruits and vegetables to make good juices. And, you know, these